All right, so good moed, everybody. We're going to discuss the topic of Kedushas Sukkah, the Kedusha that is associated with the structure, with the binyan of a Sukkah. And the Sukkah begins with a famous Gemara from Sukkah, Daf Tes Amud Aleph. So Machlokas in the Mishnah, Sukkah Yeshana, Bishamai Pulsan, Abisol Machshirin, Vezo Yi Sukkah Yeshana, Kol Sha'asar Kodam Nachag Shloshim Yom. Let's say that you put up a hut in advance of Sukkot, and you're not doing it for the purpose of Sukkot. You just put it up, and it's in advance of 30 days of the Chag. Beis Shammai says that hut would be possible for the purpose of Sukkah, for the mitzvah of Sukkot. Beis Hillel is machshir. Jump down to the Gemara. My time at the Beis Shammai. What's the reasoning for Beis Shammai? Amar ka Chag Sukkot Sheva Salvim LaShem Sukkot HaAsuya LaShem Chag BoInon. Pasuk says that the Sukkah is supposed to be La Hashem. It's supposed to be for the purpose of God. That being the case, so it's supposed to be made for the purpose of the mitzvah, for the mitzvah of the Chag, of Sukkot. Ubeis Hillel, so here's where we come to our point. Ubeis Hillel, hahu mibayi lelechadav sheshas. That Pasuk of Chag HaSukkot, Shevas Yomim La Hashem, they need that for the drasha of Rav Sheshas. What's the drasha of Rav Sheshas? So says the Gemara, Adam Rasheshas Mishum Rab Akiva, Minayin La'atze Sukkah She'asurin Kol Shiva. How do you know that the wood of a Sukkah is prohibited throughout all 7 days of Sukkot? Now, what prohibition are we talking about, Chevra? What are you not allowed to do with the Atze Sukkah, Brian?
Isser Hanah.
Very good. In Isser Hanah. Prohibition to derive personal benefit pleasure from the Atze Sukkah throughout the days of Sukkot. How do you know that? Talmud Lomar Chag HaSukkot Shivas Yomim LaHashem. Rabbi Akiva says, we derive it from the Pasuk of Chag HaSukkot Shivas Yomim LaHashem. The drasha is that the Sukkah is supposed to be LaHashem. It's supposed to be designated for a spiritual purpose. It is akin to Hekdesh. Hekdesh is something that is designated or that is set aside for the Beis HaMikdash. So too, the Sukkah is supposed to be set aside for a spiritual purpose. That being the case, Brian, one is not permitted to derive personal benefit from the Sukkah. Okay, the exact ramifications and scope and details of that prohibition we're going to discuss throughout the Shiur tonight. Okay, so you don't have to ask right now about every single heichitimta, but and certainly please do if we don't cover it. But for now, suffice it to say that there exists such a prohibition to derive personal benefit pleasure from the Atzei Sukkah throughout the time period of Sukkot. Now, in addition to Rabbi Akiva, there was another Tana who derived this prohibition and in a little bit of a different way. V'sana Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira had the following drasha. And everybody remember this line into refrigerator material. Gate, Kishim shachol shim shamayim ala chagiga, kach chol shim shamayim ala sukkah. The same way that shem shamayim descends upon a korban chagiga, was one of the korbanos that was offered in the Beis HaMikdash during each of the Gimel Regalim, during Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. So, Klal Yisrael, individuals in Klal Yisrael were obligated to bring a korban chagiga, and obviously a korban has the status of kedusha. It has what's called kedushas haguf. It has inherent sanctity. I heard Ethan during Seder refer to the category, the concept of mi'ila. Yeah, Schaefer? Right? Mi'ila, for anyone who's learned Mishnayos mi'ila, or maybe has heard of it in other contexts. So mi'ila is the Torah's prohibition to derive benefit from objects that are designated to the Beis HaMikdash or as korbanos. I'm not getting in again to all the details and distinctions, but generally said, that is the prohibition of mi'ila. Now, why is there a prohibition of hana'a? Because those objects are infused with kedusha. They have inherent sanctity. That is what the words chal shem shamayim ala chagiga mean. So says Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, striking comparison. The same way that Shem Shamayim descends upon the Korban Chagiga, so too Shem Shamayim descends upon the Sukkah. The Sukkah. How do I know? Shenemar Chag Hasukos Shivas Yamim LaHashem. The Torah calls Sukkot a Chag, or it associates the word Chag with Sukkos. Machag LaHashem Af Sukkah LaHashem. It makes a hekesh that just as a Korban Chagiga is LaHashem, and it has that sanctity, that inherent sanctity, so too a Sukkah has inherent sanctity. And if one is not allowed to derive personal benefit, joy, and pleasure from a korban, and a korban chagiga in particular, or any korban at that matter, for that matter, then so too, says Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, one is not allowed to derive personal benefit, pleasure, and joy from his sukkah. Kapish? Good? So far? Okay. That's the background to the sukkah. This is where the Gemara establishes this idea of what's called the Isur of Atzei Sukkah, the prohibition to derive benefit from one's sukkah. And this halacha is codified in Shulchan Aruch in Simin Tav Resh Lamed Ches, and we'll see it later on in the Shir, Bez Hashem, Bli Neder. Okay? So this halacha is codified in Shulchan Aruch. What our job tonight, what our task tonight is to decipher, to explore what exactly the nature of this prohibition really is, and to try to test that nature against the background of the framework of a number of central questions. What exactly is the scope of benefits that one is not allowed to derive from the sukkah? What parts of the sukkah are prohibited behana'ah? Is it just the schach? Is it also the walls? What might be the difference? In addition to that, maybe we'll make quick reference to the following discussion. Is there a way to preempt, to prevent the effect of Kedusha on the sukkah? Does it happen automatically, or is there a way to stop it? So these are all fascinating questions, and they really all revolve around the central question, the primary question, which is the nature of this prohibition of Atzei Sukkah. Okay, that is our task for tonight, and hopefully at the end of this year, after having a good understanding of this topic, we will be able to broaden it as well to try to formulate a bigger picture about what Sukkah and the mitzvah of Sukkah is all about. Oh, Ilan's been in the sukkah all day, yeah? Is that what you told me?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. That's Teishu Kein Taduru. So Ilan's really, he's really treating the sukkah as his house. Okay, beautiful. Oh. Alright, so let's begin our discussion with the following litmus test. Okay? If I had to ask you from the Gemara, you saw the Gemara in source number one, yeah? Do you think that this rule, that the sukkah is prohibited bihana'ah, should that isur hana'ah be limited to sukkah, or should it extend to other objects that we use for a mitzvah? I'll give you an example. Ner Chanukah. It's a mitzvah derabanan, not exactly the same. But we know that we're not allowed to derive benefit from Neros Chanukah, right? So is that halacha the same one as this halacha? Meaning, is this Gemara trying to tell us that whenever you have an object that you're using for a mitzvah, then it's asur behana'ah? Or is the Gemara specifically about sukkah? Did you guys get an impression from the Gemara? What did you think?
Seems to be pretty specific. It's a very narrow.
Yeah, I agree. Right, the drasha is very much about sukkah. Chag Asukos, ma chag Hashem af sukkah Hashem. Right, and the makor is Chag Asukos shivas yamim Hashem. So it would be a little bit surprising to extend this to other mitzvos, but nonetheless, we find that Rishonim do so. Source number two, the Gemara says Lamed Zayinim and Beis and Sukkah. Va'amar Rabba Hadashal Mitzvah Aser LeHariach Bo Esok Shal Mitzvah Muter LeHariach Bo. If you have a hadas that you're using for your dalag minim, You have hadasim with your lulav. You're using the hadasim for the purpose of the mitzvah of arba minim. So then you're not allowed to smell those hadasim just for the personal benefit of enjoying their fragrance. My taima, hadas telarecha kai, a hadas, a myrtle branch in general, is used for its fragrance. It has a very nice fragrance. That's what it's usually used for. So hadas telarecha kai, which a hadas which usually stands for its smell, ki aktie, when you set it aside, when you designated it, meirecha aktie, you set it aside from its purpose of fragrance, and instead you substituted that purpose with what purpose?
Dalet minim.
Exactly, the mitzvah of arba minim. Exactly. So that's the halacha of Rabba, that this idea of aktie, of muktza, of haktza, that you set aside the hadas for the purpose of the mitzvah, and therefore you cannot use it for your personal gain. So, where does this come from? What's the source for this prohibition? So Rashi has a striking comment. Rashi in source number 3 says, where did Rabba get this from? That it's prohibited to smell your hadasim just for your personal benefit. What does Rashi say? Where did he get it from? Jake?
From the sukkah.
Yeah. Yeah, from sukkah. So why is that significant? Jake, stay on with me. Why is that significant?
Because we're not supplying the Gemara to the realm of the sukkah, but we're extending it outwards.
Exactly. Exactly. We're extending what on its surface seemed like a sukkah particular halacha, we're extending it to another mitzvah. In Achinami, it's another mitzvah that takes place during the same time period, but it is a totally different mitzvah. It is not the mitzvah of sukkah, it is the mitzvah of arba minim. Now, based on this, this is not on the Makoros, but based on this, the Avni Nezer, the Sacher Chevre Rebbe, so he made the argument that according to this Rashi, so the idea of the Isur of Atze Sukkah is not limited to Sukkah. It applies to Chefti Mitzvah in general. When you have an object that is set aside for the purpose of a mitzvah, so we derive from this Gemara in Sukkah, Daftes, a Gilui Milsa, just as the Torah says that you're not allowed to derive benefit from the Sukkah. Because why? Because you're supposed to use it for a spiritual purpose. Because you're supposed to use it, La Hashem, for the purpose of a mitzvah. So too, with respect to all other cheftei mitzvah. When you use that, when they're set aside for the purpose of a mitzvah, you're not allowed to derive personal benefit from them. And that's how Rashi knew that you should apply it to the Hadasim. Because what Rashi was understanding was that the Gemara Daf Tes about Sukkah was not a Sukkah-centric halacha, but rather, it was a more general halacha that was just taught in the context of Sukkah. Yeah, we had a question from Schaefer. Moshe, you had a question?
Yeah. What about Neiro Shabbos first? And then, what about...
So Neiro Shabbos, the whole purpose of the mitzvah is for the Hana, right? The Neiros are designated, the whole, you're doing the mitzvah in order to be able to derive benefit from it. But if you have a Chefetz Shel Mitzvah that's supposed to be used for its mitzvah purpose, right? It's not really oriented for Hana'a. So then this principle called Haktza'a L'Mitzvah, Muktza'a L'Mitzvah, would seemingly establish, according to this approach again, that it would be Aser B'Hana'a. Yeah? Okay. Okay. Now, other Rishonim clearly did not hold this way. Other Rishonim felt that the Gemari on Daf Tes, which establishes the Isser of Atzei Sukkah based on the connection to Korban Chagiga, just as Ilan told us a couple minutes ago, was trying to say something very particular about Sukkah, about the mitzvah and the binyan, the structure, the entity of Sukkah. Something that is not extendable to other mitzvos. I like to point out the Rashba. The Rashba Maseches Beita. Maseches, the Gemara Beita Lamin Amid Beis is another one of the main sugyas in this topic because it discusses the idea of Tanai. Can I make a condition when I build my sukkah that maybe in a couple days from now, or if it falls down, that it should no longer be prohibited behana, that it should be for my personal use? Can I make such a condition when I build the sukkah? That's the focus of the sugya in Maseches Beitza, Daf Lamed Amud Beis. And there is a very, very long piece of analysis of the Rashba on that sugya, a critical piece. I didn't give you the whole thing, I just picked out a couple lines. But the Rashba makes a fascinating argument. And he says that sukkah is meant to be compared rather literally to the Korban Chagiga. I told you before that a korban has what's called kedushas haguf. It has inherent sanctity. Yeah? It's intrinsic to the object. No one's going to say that a hadasim of your arba minim have kedushas haguf. No one in their right mind would say such a thing. They don't have kedushas haguf. They don't have inherent sanctity. They're used for a mitzvah. They're very special. But they don't have inherent kedusha. A korban has inherent kedusha. Says the Rashba, so too does a sukkah. When the Gemara compares sukkah to korban chagiga, it means to do it literally. Dehikisha hakosov lachagiga mamish. The same way that korban chagiga has kedusha saguf, intrinsic sanctity, so too does a sukkah. So too does a sukkah. Now clearly the Rashba interpreted the Isser in the Gemara as limited to sukkah. The whole idea of kishem shachol shem shamayim for the Rashba was a sukkah halacha. Didn't extend to other mitzvahs, dalin minim, neros chanukah, any other mitzvah. It was a sukkah halacha. That's the connection between sukkah and korban chagiga. So what we have here, chevra, is a machlokas. Let's sum it up. We have a machlokas between the Rishonim. When the Gemara says that the Atzei Sukkah are prohibited behana, is that what we would call a Giloi Milsa? Is that something that the Gemara teaches, or the Torah teaches in one particular context, in the context of Sukkah, but it's meant to be extended outwards to other mitzvos? Or, no, is it meant to be taken at face value that it's really just the Sukkah Halacha? Yeah, you see that machlokes between Rashi and the Rashba? So the question is, what lies at the root of this dispute? And this really gets us to the nature of this halacha, of the iser. Okay? According to Rashi's approach, as we're saying it, in the name of the Avni Nezer, that this halacha applies to all Heftei Mitzvah. How would you describe or characterize the isor? Why is it that it is prohibited to derive benefit from such objects? What would you say? Moshe?
I guess you'd be taking away from their kedusha by using it for
anah. Oh, so here I want to point this out, right? We pointed out before what do you mean by kedusha? Right, because we pointed out before that the hadasim don't have intrinsic sanctity. Maybe you could associate what's called like a kedusha mitzvah with the hadasim, which means that they're set aside for the purpose of a mitzvah. But the physical object lacks kedusha. Yeah? Its purpose is a kadosh purpose. It has a holy purpose. It has a spiritual purpose. But as an object, it doesn't have sanctity. Yeah? So the reason why you wouldn't be allowed to derive benefit from the hadasim would be because it would violate its purpose. It's meant to have a spiritual destiny. By deriving personal gain from it, it no longer, or that's a violation, that's a contradiction to its destiny. Yeah? That you could say about any Chafta Shal Mitzvah. It doesn't have to be a Sukkah, it doesn't have to be Hadassim. You could say that about many Chafta Mitzvah. That's what I would call Rashi's approach. And haktza'a l'mitzvah, you set it aside for the purpose of a mitzvah, to derive benefit from it would contradict its purpose. In contrast, the Rashba's approach is that sukkah has an inherent sanctity. The chefza shel sukkah, the entity of sukkah, has kedusha. It's not just that it has a holy purpose. It's that its guf has kedusha. And there's a general concept that we learn from the realm of kodshim, of korbanos, that when something has a kedusha saguf, an intrinsic sanctity, it's off limits. It's something that you can't get benefit from. Not having to do with its purpose, but having to do with its actual, with its status, with its current status. Moshe, you see that distinction?
Yes and no.
Okay, so let's hear. What's the no?
What's a practical application?
So you want an nafka mina? Yeah, you want an nafka mina? Yeah? Okay. So let me give a quick nafka mina, and then I'll get back to Brian and Milan. Okay?
Okay, I think you're breaking up a little bit.
Ah, no. Okay, let me move.
Rebbe, could a nafka mina be the biggest digit for the string?
What?
Could a nafka mina be a begit for tzitzit and the strings also?
I'm not sure what you have in mind by that, but let me try to demonstrate it. Okay? So let's say like this. Okay? Here, perfect. Okay? If you go down to source number 9, yeah? So there is a machlokas between the Rishonim as to what parts of the sukkah this iser applies to. The Rosh in source number, this is refrigerator material, machlokas. Okay? We gotta know this machlokas. The Rosh in the Masechet Sukkah says like this. V'hayda asirei atzi sukkah, haynu davka haschach, aval atzi hadefanos mishra shari. Ilan, what does that mean?
The iser for when it talks about the wood for sukkah is davka for the schach, but in terms of the walls, it's permitted to get benefit from them.
Yeah, beautiful. And then you saw in source number 10, the Rambam?
Yeah.
What does he say?
The Rambam said even the walls are you can't benefit from them. And it's interesting because he actually mentioned those before. I don't know if it means anything, but he mentioned that before the schach even. So
uh-huh.
Benefit from the walls.
Yeah, very good. So the Rosh and the Rambam have a machlokas about what part of the sukkah this iser applies to. According to the Rosh, it applies only to the schach. According to the Rambam, it applies not only to the schach, but also to the defanos, to the walls. And Ilan points out that the Rambam even mentions the defanos first. Interesting ha'ar. So what exactly is going on in this machlokas? So there are multiple ways that you could explain this machlokas. But Reb Chaim, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, Reb Chaim Brisker, so he has one way of explaining the machlokas here. Okay, I want to learn the Reb Chaim together. Brian, you ready for this? Yeah? Strap your seatbelt? Yeah? Okay. Great. Awesome. All right. Source number 11. V'nir lomar b'das haramah. If anybody gets lost at any time, please stop me and we'll clarify. Okay? V'nir lomar b'das haramah. The Reb Chaim is bothered by why the Rambam extends this to the defanos, to the walls. Disfirale that he holds, dinihid im banu ladun ala soka atzma vaday de haschachu de michshav ikar hasoka. If this halacha of the iser of atzei soka, the prohibition of benefit, if it were about the soka atzma, which means the formal shame soka, what is considered the legal, what has the legal status of being a sukkah? Yeah? So says Reb Chaim, so then you would only talk about the schach. Ukidi isa besukkah daf zayin ayin sham de pligi bizer ab yoshev rabbanon im defanos ichlulu bahadi schachim lo. There's a machlokas tanoim, whether the defanos are included in with the schach as part of the shem sukkah, ulididon kaimalon defanos lav schach ninu, that the defanos are not considered like the schach. Vigam chamasa meruba mechamas defanos kesher. I'm not getting into that right now. Mishum de lo chayil behu din sukkah. What Reb Chaim's trying to say is that the walls don't have what's called a din sukkah. They don't have the formal status of being a sukkah. Virak haschach levad hu dechala alav v'niskayim bei din sukkah. Only the ceiling, only the schach, has the formal status of being a sukkah. Okay? So that doesn't mean that you don't need walls. Of course you need walls. But the idea is that the walls are a prerequisite. Meaning in order to have a kosher sukkah, you need some things let's say like this. The sukkah, the formal status of the sukkah is the schach. But in order for the schach to be kosher, they have to hover over walls. They have to be attached to walls. And then there are certain dinim about how the walls need to be fashioned and how many you need. But when we talk about legally what's considered the sukkah, it's not the walls. The walls are just necessary to make the schach into the sukkah. Right, the sukkah is something that hovers over you. It's a roof. That's the idea. So says Reb Chaim, if the iser of atzei sukkah, if the prohibition of benefit, were dependent on the formal status, then what would it apply to? Both the walls and the schach, or only the schach? What's the answer? No one? Schaefer?
Only the schach?
Yeah, only the schach. Again, we're not saying something so complicated. Or all we're trying to say is, what's the legal definition of a sukkah? Okay? I know that in the mitzius, in the way that in the reality in which we relate to the sukkah, we think of the sukkah as something with walls and something with a roof, with schach. Yeah? But what Reb Chaim is saying is that based on other evidence, the legal definition of the sukkah is the schach. The walls are there to make the schach a kosher sukkah. Brian.
Don't walls also have to be halachically kosher?
Like yes, I'll get to that point in a second. Okay? But for now, this is the approach that we're taking. Okay? So Reb Chaim is saying, number one, let's grant that assumption, that the schach is the sukkah. The walls come to facilitate the schach. So let's grant that. That's premise number one. Now he says, if the prohibition of benefit were dependent on the legal definition of sukkah, so then what would it apply to?
The schach.
Good, the schach. Because the schach is the only thing that's legally defined as a sukkah. But what Reb Chaim goes on to say is that that is not correct. Namely, the iser of benefit is not dependent on the legal definition of sukkah. What Reb Chaim goes on to say is that the iser applies to anything that's used as part of the mitzvah of sukkah, as part of the fulfillment of the mitzvah. Brian, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah, do you need walls?
Yes.
100%, yeah? So if I say that the iser depends on what's used for the mitzvah, so then should it apply to the walls? Yes.
Yeah.
Good. Awesome. All right? Now, so Ilan, Moshe, you guys were asking me for a nafkamina of the approaches that we were saying before. Right? So I think this may be one nafkamina. Let me explain what I mean. Moshe, you'll tell me if this is not clear. Okay? This may be one nafkamina. If I think that the prohibition to benefit from the sukkah is rooted in the idea of haktza'a l'mitzvah, anything that's set aside for the purpose of a mitzvah, you're not allowed to derive benefit from it because that violates its purpose. So then, I could understand why it would apply not only to the schach, but also to the walls, based on Reb Chaim's analysis. Because Reb Chaim's saying that the walls are needed for the mitzvah as well. So then how do I explain the rush? Why would I limit the why would I limit the iser of benefit to just the schach? So if I take a Rashba-like approach to the iser of hana'ah, if I say that the iser hana'ah is not about what's set aside for the mitzvah, but rather it's about the kedusha, the sanctity that resides in the object, then that might be limited to what is considered legally a sukkah. And if that's the case, then what would I apply it to? Only to the schach. So that might be an afkamina between those two approaches. Is this about being set aside for a mitzvah, or is this about the sanctity that is in that is imbued within the object? If it's about being set aside for the mitzvah, it'll apply to anything that's used for the mitzvah. But if it's about the object, it might apply only to what's actually considered a sukkah, legally, which is the schach, according to Reb Chaim's analysis. Okay? Ilan?
I think I was reading somewhere, or heard that decorations for the sukkah, you can't use them during the days of sukkah. So that probably in not obviously not the kedusha, the decorations of no kedusha, but the fact that they're chuksa, they're specifically set aside for the hinder mitzvah. So would we apply not only to mitzvah but also then to anything that's part of the hinder mitzvah?
Yeah. So the Gemara in Beitza makes it clear that the prohibition applies also to noye sukkah, also to the decorations that are used in the sukkah. And it seems like that's because the noye sukkah are kind of grouped together with the schach. So without any preconditions, you view the, or you associate the noye sukkah together with the schach, and thereby, this is at least one of the explanations. So the iser that applies to the schach applies to the decorations as well. Very good point, Ivan. Okay. Yeah, Jake.
Can you answer Brian's question before about why the schach is the only legal part of this?
Okay, good. Okay, good, good, good. Okay. So the other approach to this machlokas between the Rosh and the Rambam is not Reb Chaim's analysis. And to clarify, let's say like this. Reb Chaim thinks that the Rosh and the Rambam agree about the way I'm framing it. Reb Chaim doesn't really say this, but the way I'm framing it is that the Rosh and the Rambam agree about the legal definition of the sukkah. They might both agree that it's only the schach. What they disagree about is the nature of the Isser Hanah. For the Rambam, it's tied to being set aside for a mitzvah. For the Rosh, it's about the Kedusha of the Chefza. But a whole different direction that you could take, a whole other avenue that you could adopt, is that the Rosh and the Rambam are arguing precisely about the legal definition of a sukkah. And I actually came across, I saw Rav Asher Weiss in the Minchas Asher wanted to make that argument. That whereas according to the Rosh, the legal definition is only the schach, for the Rambam it includes the walls, just like Brian and Jake wanted to say, that the walls are part of the sukkah as well. Now, what this might get at, this is a topic in and of itself, okay, so we're not going to be able to exhaust it. But the idea is, what is a sukkah? Basukos teshvu. Is a sukkah a roof? Or is a sukkah a dwelling place? Yeah? Meaning, in order for a roof to be functional, it needs to reside over walls. But that doesn't change the fact that there's only one roof. So if a sukkah is a roof, then only the schach will be considered legally the sukkah. But if a sukkah is a makom, a dwelling place, right? It's not just the roof. So then it will include the walls as well. Yeah, Jake? Yeah, Moshe.
Yeah, like it came up, I think, in one of the Divrei Torah that the rabbi gave in Shul. Only schach mentioned in the Torah, that like at the end of the harvest, you take what's left and you use that?
At the psolas goren v'yakef. Yeah, right. Right, because generally we interpret pasukos as schach. Yeah, and that's where this whole discussion comes up in terms of whether the walls are also considered part of that definition. Okay? Very good. Okay, so far what have we seen? We've seen this iser of hana'a from the Atzei Sukkah and the Gemara Daftes. We've developed two basic approaches to the iser hana'a. Is it about being set aside for the purpose of a mitzvah, and by deriving personal benefit, you violate that purpose, or you desecrate that purpose? Or is it that the sukkah has inherent sanctity, very similar to a korban chagiga, and that being the case, it's off limits. It's boundaried off. And that's why you can't go near it, you can't touch it for your own purpose. We saw there are multiple nafkamina to this question. Number one, are you going to extend it to other cheftzei mitzvah? Or is it limited to sukkah? If you think it's about the kedusha of the item, it's only going to apply to sukkah. If you think it's about its spiritual purpose, so then you could see it applying to other mitzvahs as well. That's nafkamina number one. Nafkamina number two, according to Reb Chaim's analysis, to what sections of the sukkah does it apply? Let's say everybody agrees that only the schach, only the roof, is considered the legal definition of the sukkah. But nonetheless, does the iser apply only to the schach or also to the walls? The Rosh says only the schach, the Rambam says also the walls. What's going on? So he said, perhaps, according to the Rambam, on Reb Chaim's analysis, anything that's set aside for the purpose of the mitzvah has the iser hana. Whereas according to the Rosh, it's about what is considered a sukkah, precisely because only the legal definition of the sukkah has the kedusha that would be the source or the basis for the iser hana. Okay? In terms of halacha lemaisa, there's, Brian, I'll get to you in a second, okay? Halacha lemaisa, there's another interesting nafkamina. What type of hana'a is one barred from deriving from the sukkah? I know a bunch of guys struggled through this section, so I wanted to just clarify what was going on here. Okay, so there is a machlokas between the Rishonim. Some Rishonim think, the Ma'aril, for example, thinks that every form of hana'a is prohibited. You can't get any personal benefit from the sukkah. But others, the Taz and the Mishnah Brura, following on the Taz, think that no, only the type of hana'a that's going to neutralize the mitzvah is prohibited. But if you can get hana'a and also not mess with the mitzvah, then that would be permitted. So for example, am I allowed to lean a chair against the walls of the sukkah? Let's assume we paskin like the Rambam, right, which the Shulchan Aruch does. Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rambam that the walls are also prohibited behana. Am I allowed to lean a chair against the walls? Brian says yes. So that's true according to the Mishnah Brura's approach. Because by leaning a chair against the walls, am I neutralizing the mitzvah? No, the sukkah is there, right? The sukkah stands. I can use it. I'm just also using the walls for another purpose. Yeah? So if that's the case, says the Mishnah Brura, that's fine. That's mutter. But others, the Ma'aril says you can't even take one little twig from the schach and use it to floss your teeth. When you take a tiny little strip, are you getting rid of the mitzvah? No, you can still use the sukkah, right? And other achronim also thought that any form of hana'a, probably even leaning a chair against the walls, would be prohibited. Again, what's that machlokas about? Anybody have a suggestion in light of what we said? Ilan?
Seems like the Ma'aril would hold that it's about the actual kedusha. That the fact it doesn't matter that it's still serving its purpose. It's not about that. It's the fact that it has inherent kedusha. So anything you're taking away is completely usher. And according to the Taz and the Shibura, it's the fact that you're setting it aside. And since when you lean a chair, you're not. It's not set aside. It's still performing its function. It's still right there. But so therefore, you're able to do something else with it. As long as you don't take it away from the chuppah.
Awesome. Couldn't have said it any better. Exactly. And I think that's another very nice nafkamina between these different avenues. So lemaisa, I think we passing like the Mishnah Brura that you can lean a chair, but nonetheless it's a very fruitful discussion. Okay, see a couple of questions. So before we wrap up with a broader idea, let's take them. So Jake first, then Brian.
Yeah,
to clarify,
yeah,
somebody like the Maharil that holds that you can't even lean a chair against the sukkah.
It's very possible. Yeah. What? Right, yeah.
He'd be holding one, not only would he be holding like the Rosh, but not Rashi, but the sukkah's Kedusha's goof, but he'd also be holding that the legal status of a sukkah is also the walls, not just the staff.
Right. Yeah, you would have to combine those two in order to explain why you couldn't lean a chair against the walls. Right. You'd have to be machmir on both. Very good point. Very good. Brian.
We're saying that the sukkah has inherent kedusha because it's mentioned deliberately by Korban Chagiga, right? Because the Gemara learns that out.
So it's not mentioned in the context of Korban Chagiga, but the pasuk goes out of its way to say Chag. Chag asuko shivas yomim la'Hashem. So it like connects it to Korban Chagiga. Yeah.
Are there other mitzvos that have inherent kedusha, not sukkahs, but... You know what I'm saying?
Listen, there are other Heftze mitzvah that have kedusha, inherent kedusha, like a Sefer Torah or something like that. But very rarely do we find a mitzvah that's like sukkah, a mitzvah that's associated with a moed, that has a kedusha in this sense. We don't find any other hekesh between a Heftze shel mitzvah and a korban. That's singular. Ah, and Brian, perfect segue into what we're about to discuss. Okay, which is, what is this all about? Especially if we think that this is a particular halacha about sukkah. It's not something that extends to all heftze mitzvah. It's something specific about sukkah. So what is this idea all about? So I thought that this was very much related to a more general mahalach that Mori Virabi or Rosenzweig develops, which is the idea that the mitzvah of sukkah and sukkis is not just yeshiva besukkah. It's not just to dwell in the sukkah the way that you would dwell in your house. The mitzvah of sukkah has another dimension, which is that the chefza shel sukkah, the structure, the entity of the sukkah, plays an independent role. By building a sukkah and having a sukkah within our midst throughout the 7 days of Sukkot, that itself is a symbolic statement. Of course, whenever we want to do residential activities, we're supposed to do them in the sukkah. But that's in addition to the status that the sukkah itself has. That's why the Torah places so much emphasis on constructing the sukkah. Chag ha-sukkos ta'aseh lecha shevas yamim. You should make it for yourselves. Why is there such an emphasis on constructing the sukkah? Precisely because making the entity of the sukkah is what places that symbol in your rishos, in your midst. What is this symbol all about? So Rav Rosenzweig explains, elsewhere, that the sukkah is, it's like a mikdash ma'at. After following on Yom Kippur, where there was a Beis HaMikdash centric day. It was a day focused on the Beis HaMikdash, of the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol. Everybody was at the Beis HaMikdash with the Kohen Gadol as the representative of Klal Yisrael. So after that, after hopefully we've succeeded in our mission on Yom Kippur to recommit, rededicate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a day of Kulul Hashem, thinking only of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on that day. If we've been successful in that mission, so then we want to bring the imprint of that mission back into our general lives. And we do that by bringing the mikdash into our house. But before we can bring it into our actual residence, first we leave our home and we put up a temporary structure that signifies that this is kind of the transition point between the mikdash and our house. And it becomes that mikdash ma'at that we're setting up in our midst. It's whether it's the sukkos mamish or the anane kavod, whether it's natural sukkahs or a supernatural sukkah, what it represents is the special relationship that Klal Yisrael has with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all in the spirit or all on the basis, on the foundation of the dedication and the commitment that we showed in the previous time period of Rosh Hashanah through Yom Kippur, where we came to the day of Kulul Hashem and we dedicated ourselves fully to serving Him in all ways. And when we do that, so then we are zocha, we merit that special relationship of protection, that's the sukkah, and we can have the Mikdash Ma'at. And that's why the Chetzah Shel Sukkah, the entity of the Sukkah, has an independent status. And perhaps that is what explains why it has this unique Kedusha, why it's connected to the Korban Chagiga. The Korban Chagiga was the Korban that expressed the Kedushas Hayom of each holiday. You brought a Korban to celebrate that holiday. So very similarly, the Sukkah as an entity, as a guf, is what expresses the particular Kedushas Hayom, the particular theme of the holiday of Sukkot, of bringing the Kedusha of the Mikdash into our midst on the basis of the special protection and relationship that HaKadosh Baruch Hu offers us in response to our dedication to Him. So in that light, I hope we can gain a better appreciation of the Sukkah and Chag HaSukkos for the rest of this Yontif. Be'ez Hashem, we'll continue with another topic on Wednesday night. Good Moed, everybody.